Welcome back to our Confluence podcast. You're joining me, Ruby Martin, Director of Certification Services, and Chris Luce, our Division Chief for Octel. This is episode 5, Understanding the Complex Differences Between Certification and Quality Initiatives. And it's my pleasure to welcome and intro our very special guest, Louisa Oliva-Wolf, Bureau Director of Early Childhood Policy and Professional Development for Octel. We're so happy you're here. Louisa, can you please share a little bit about your background and your current role in the role of the Bureau before we get started today?
Sure. Thanks, Ruby. And I'm so happy to be here with you and Chris. So prior to serving in this role at the Commonwealth, I was the Assistant Chief Program Officer for my local community action agency, and I oversaw all of our early childhood education programs, which included pre-K counts, early Head Start, and Head Start. Sort of worked my way through that organization, but mostly focused on ECE. I was the Director of Strategic Initiatives, Family Community Engagement, and started my career there actually as a Family Advocate and a Parent Involvement Specialist. Before that, I was the Director of College Hill Children's Center and Hildebrandt Learning Centers in Masonic Village and Gap. I was also in the K-12 space as a community school director at George Washington Elementary in Lancaster, which also had pre-K and after school. So sort of a long journey to get here, but very, very excited to be here. And now I have the pleasure of overseeing the Bureau of Early Learning Policy and Professional Development. My team and I support the work of developing and implementing standards for ECE programs and professionals, really seeking to improve the quality of early learning for the young children that we serve. We provide financial support and technical assistance for programs and professionals through initiatives like the PDO. We establish and maintain policies for CCW. We're the lead administrative bureau for compliance with the Child Care Development Fund, or CCDF, and other initiatives through the Federal Office of Child Care. My bureau also oversees Keystone Stars, PK Counts, and Head Start Supplemental. And so we do a lot of work to support the alignment of our ECE systems with K-12 and making sure that we're providing high quality services across the state.
Amazing work coming out of your bureau. Louisa, thank you so much for being here today. We hear a lot from providers around the confusion between what are quality standards, what are quality initiatives, and what our regulations and certification require. So we're going to clear some of that up for people today. So certification, just so I can clarify this for everyone, it measures the minimum health and safety standards in Pennsylvania. It is required for operating a certified child care program, so a family or a group care or a school age program, any child care program, of course. And we know many people get confused by the standards of high quality in the STARS system or through accreditation processes and what is required as a minimum to operate legally. So I think for the purpose of today's discussion, we need to state that even though all certified programs are STAR 1, we fully understand that STARS 2 through 4 is a voluntary attainment. There are quality programs operating who do not wish to advance in the STARS program. We want to acknowledge that quality does exist even without STARS rating, and we also know regulation and standards of high quality are often interchanged by the field, and they are not the same. So we want to make sure that we take some time today to clear all of that up. So Louisa, can you give us a brief summary of Keystone STARS, who oversees and enforces this system?
So Keystone STARS is overseen and enforced by two divisions within Octel. So our division, the Bureau of Policy and Professional Development, is responsible for issuing the STAR standards themselves, supporting documents, policies, procedures, et cetera. And the Bureau of Early Learning Resource Centers Operations and Monitoring oversees and manages the ELRCs in their direct work with Keystone STARS programs. Each program will have a quality coach assigned to them from their ELRC region.
Great. And I just want to clarify that in case there's anybody listening who doesn't know that early learning resource centers, we have 19 of them throughout the state of Pennsylvania, and they are regional and they're contracted through Octel to do the oversight of quality Keystone STARS, if that's accurate, Louisa.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. So can you help us by defining what QRIS and how it relates to our federal expectations?
Yeah, and to do this, we'll have to do a little bit of acronyming, so we'll make sure that we spell those out for folks. So under the guidance of the CCDBG Act, which is the Child Care Development Block Grant, which helps fund some of our federal initiatives, states are required to invest a portion of federal child care funds into quality improvement initiatives. QRIS, or Quality Rating and Improvement Systems, are one of the primary tools that many states use to meet this requirement, including Pennsylvania. Another federal expectation is that states help parents make informed choices and help families find high-quality providers. Keystone Stars really allows families the opportunity to easily identify a rating and the criteria for that rating when they're choosing to find somebody to provide care for their child. QRIS is really a framework that is used to assess, improve, and communicate high-quality early learning programs, and every state has a different approach to this work. We're committed to continuing improving our QRIS system and being responsive to the needs of children and families and providers all across the Commonwealth.
So, Louisa, you know, sometimes there's a reluctancy of programs to participate in the Keystone Stars program. Could you tell us what some of the benefits are of participating in STARS program or even obtaining a national accreditation?
So Ruby mentioned earlier that STARS is voluntary and programs can show quality other ways. And this is true, but we do encourage programs to participate in STARS designation because this is our state quality improvement system. This is how we recognize this across the Commonwealth. And so many families are going to recognize STARS as they search for a trusted provider to care and educate for their child. The STAR system also builds upon itself and offers programs an opportunity to really exemplify quality in the way that best suits them. The other benefit is providers who are engaged in STARs are offered additional grant opportunities and an increased reimbursement rate with CCW.
Yeah, as a provider, a former provider, Louisa, I can tell you that for me, a STARS participation, I participated from the pilot year all the way through to 2023, and I can tell you it was a validation for quality. For me, as a provider, I cared less about the monetary stuff. Of course, I cared about it, but I really love the fact that it validated the quality of my program, and somebody else's eyes were on that, and that was always important to me as a provider.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Ruby. As a former provider, I had the same feeling, and I really valued the coaching that I received from the folks in STARS, and especially when I was a new director and sort of just trying to get my feet wet, that support from the quality coach was essential to my growth.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. So the role of a certification representative is to ensure child care programs are compliant with established DHS laws and regulations. So certification representatives oftentimes provide technical assistance to child care providers to assist them in meeting state regulatory requirements. So what is the difference between my certification rep and my quality coach?
The roles of a quality coach in Keystone Stars and certification rep in DHS are both focused on improving and ensuring quality of early childhood programs, but they have distinct responsibilities and areas of focus. So the main goal of a quality coach is to really support programs, enhance the quality of early learning in coaching, guidance, and professional development, ultimately leading to a higher Keystone Stars rating. Our cert reps are really focused on ensuring that providers are able to maintain compliance with our DHS regulations. That's done through your inspections and responding to complaints. So while these roles are distinct, they are definitely complementary, and in fact, it works best when they work together. So as an example, our cert team may refer a program back to the coach if they notice that the program could use support in a particular area. You can also think about it in a different way. A quality coach provides the ongoing guidance and resources needed for programs to both quality and regulatory expectations, which in turn minimizes the risk of a program being cited for violations during a cert rep visit. All of our systems in OCDEL are really meant to support and build one another, which is why having programs enter in STAR 1 when they meet certification regulations is so essential. It's sort of like a stepping stone to higher quality.
That makes sense. So both certification and Keystone Stars require specific professional development be taken during the first 90 days of employment. So for certification purposes, individuals must have completed the appropriate health and safety training, pediatric first aid CPR, mandated reporter training, dated with the within the last 60 months, and training in the facility's emergency plan. What's the requirement for STARS participating programs?
For STARS, individuals working at a STAR 2, 3, or 4 programs must take the course Overview of Keystone STARS and complete their profile in the registry. They also must complete their professional development plans and PD self-assessment within the PD registry to support their educational achievement and professional growth, all within 90 days of hire. Annually, those individuals must update their profile in the PD registry and their PD plans. Once you get to STAR 3 and 4, programs can really choose to meet optional points based on quality indicators by having their staff complete professional development in certain topic areas by the time of their designation.
So, Louisa, when I worked in the region, a lot of times when we observed providers struggling with certain issues, we made referrals to the ELRC for quality coaches or for ELRC staff to come out and help providers work to meet compliance. What are some things that a quality coach can do that a provider can reach out to them before a certification referral?
Yeah, this is where things really build upon each other and why it's so essential to sort of see all of these things in tandem. A Keystone STARS quality coach can really play a crucial role in helping programs address an issue that leads to a certification referral and make improvements to ensure that, compliance is happening. So they can really help get to the root cause of what it caused that issue to happen. The quality coach and the ELRCs can support programs in obtaining professional development and training that's relevant to the referral. They can help organize and maintain proper records and documentation for DHS and really help and guide the program in understanding DHS regulations. As an example, in one of my previous programs, we did a lot of training, right? I provided a lot of training directly to my staff. But in one instance, we decided to lean on our local ELRC to help provide additional training for our team members on the topic of active supervision. This was super helpful because it sort of allowed my team to hear these tenants from a different voice. And it also emphasized the importance of active supervision from a trusted third party and emphasized the foundation of this work to the team that I was supporting at the time. So using all of these programs and supports in tandem with one another can really help programs propel past that compliance towards a place of higher quality.
So, Louisa, earlier we discussed the roles of the certification representatives, and can you explain the role of the quality coach, or the PQA assessor, and how we how each support each other and the programs differently?
Yeah, so building on that foundation again, certification is really the foundation of Keystone STARS. All of our programs have to meet DHS regs before engaging in quality improvement. So it's sort of your entry in the door. From there, quality coaches help our providers move beyond compliance and support continuous quality improvement across all of our STAR levels and standards. The PQA assessors complement this by focusing on four quality indicators as STAR 2, 3, and 4, and helping programs understand, use observation, use assessment to inform their CQI goals. In short, certification ensures compliance, coaches drive improvement, and assessors guide deep quality practices. They all work really well together and complement one another.
Great. Thank you so much. So certification, we get the question all the time. So certification licensing reps come out. They're focused on ensuring that our program meets the minimum state requirements or the regulations for health and safety and licensing. So they review our paperwork as providers to verify that you are complying with the regulatory standards and requirements set forth by the Department of Human Services. So then can you give an explanation as to why the quality coaches also need to review paperwork and what their lens might look like?
So both of our certification reps and our Keystone quality coaches review paperwork, but they're looking at it through different lenses or different angles. They're looking at different types of paperwork. Essentially, they're working to ensure that your program is in really good shape. So your cert rep is looking at it from a compliance perspective, and our quality coaches are looking at it from a quality improvement perspective. So our quality coaches are focused on helping your program reach higher quality standards, improve the overall experience for children and families, and could be looking at items like your parent handbooks, your employee manuals, your lesson plans, your developmental assessment, your internal assessment, as well as the career pathways for your program staff. All of that is meant to sort of certify that your program is meeting the expectations at whatever star level you're hoping to achieve.
We hear all the time people struggling to hire qualified staff. We know DHS licensing requirements are much easier to obtain. Can you talk about the star staff qualifications and how this can change in the future and how it may have a profound effect on stars as we know it?
As long as I have been in this field, we have always had a challenge with recruitment and retention, and the pandemic has made this even more challenging. I know when I was an ECE director, there were many times when I found myself in ratio because I was understaffed, right? So we know that this is a challenge. And as an office, our office is super committed to being responsive to the needs of the field and identifying ways to make improvements here. The ECE PDOs, as an example, were created to provide more opportunities for folks to gain additional education. I've also had the great pleasure in the last year-ish that I've been here to learn about some homegrown initiatives that programs are doing as a response to helping build skills within their team members and increase degree attainment. And my team and myself are so committed to hearing more about this, hearing more about some of the challenges with professional development or challenges with recruitment, so that we can build a response that's really going to impact the field where it is now. Super, super committed to opening conversations with folks and hearing more feedback about this. We do have some conversations that are happening that I think are very responsive to the ECE field, and welcome any other folks listening to this podcast to reach out to me and let's schedule a call and let's talk more about where we might build and grow regarding staffing and recruitment.
Thanks, Louise. So we do have an email on the website where our Confluence podcast is housed that people can reach out to, and we'll get them get their messages and their feedback to you. I think that's a great idea. Do we have any current data that supports the STARS program and its effect on overall childcare quality? And what are the goals for the future of STARS and the development of a quality division within Octo, maybe?
So my team is currently working on some data review, specifically as it relates to STARS and certification and what happens over that overlap. We're also having lots of conversations with stakeholders, like I mentioned, about strengths and opportunities for improvement. Nationally, we know that lots of states are looking at their QRS systems to be more responsive to the field as it is today. We believe deeply that quality early learning is essential and should be accessible to all families. I think we have some great foundations, and so I'm looking forward to building on those foundations with a team that's super committed to this work. So right now, we're evaluating what are the small steps that we can take to sort of look deeper into our QRS system. What are some small actions that we can take right now? And what is our horizon telling us, right? What are opportunities we have in the future? And what are the intersections of those things with certification regulations, with the workforce, with the pathway? So I think we have a long journey ahead, but it's one that's going to be done with lots of intent and input from voices of all stakeholders.
Well, I've never been more excited as somebody working in the early childhood field to see all of these intersects come together. And I really think it's going to be amazing to see what transpires, of course, with the input from the field and the work that you're doing in your division and the work that Chris and I are doing with our certification team. I think that we're going to end up with a really unbelievable process that unfolds here. So I'm super stoked about that.
I agree, Ruby. And I'd also like to mention that I think, you know, you and I both come from the provider perspective. And so I think that allows such an interesting lens into some of the work that our office is doing, because we bring some of those stories and some of those real life experiences to this work. So thank you for being you as well.
Oh, thank you. And I think that Octo is working from a very strong provider-centric lens these days. So I'm proud to be on the side of that and working for the providers every day here. Thank you, Louisa, for taking the time out of your very busy schedule. I have access to your calendar, so I know how hard this was to get scheduled. And I know that you're traveling this week, so safe travels to you. Thank you so much for being here with us. Chris, do you have anything in closing?
No, just thank you for joining us and providing us with all this information.
That's great. Thanks so much, everybody, and we'll see you on the next episode.